December 26th. We begin our Bible reading today, as we usually do, beginning in the Old Testament. And today's narrative will come from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. Now here's a little overview of the chapters which tie together in the next few days, chapters 9 through 14. Zechariah closes his book by giving two oracles, burdens, that focus on the future history of Israel. Chapters 9 through 11 deal primarily with Christ's first coming, when he presented himself to his people and was rejected. Events leading up to his coming include the conquests of Alexander the Great, the conflicts during the time of the Maccabees, and Daniel also touches on this latter period. Israel under Roman rule is seen in chapter 11 here in the book of Zechariah. Chapters 12 through 14 highlight Messiah's second coming and the establishing of his glorious kingdom on earth. The key phrase is, in that day. Zechariah describes the events that will take place in that day when Christ returns to earth, when the nations gather together against Jerusalem. He will come in power and deliver his people. The nation will recognize him, repent, and be cleansed. And Jesus Christ will reign as king from Jerusalem. Symbolism appears often in chapters 9 through 14, and at times the prophet refers to our Lord's first and second advents in succeeding verses. But this is really not unusual in prophetic literature. As you listen to our reading here, see Christ in his grace and glory, and rejoice in his promised victory. Here in chapter 9 that we're about to read, the spread of Alexander's kingdom help to prepare the way for the birth of the Lord Jesus. God controls history and uses it to accomplish his purposes. Events in the news today, depressing as they may seem, are all in the hands of God. Verse 9 was fulfilled when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Verse 10 will not be fulfilled until he returns and sets up his kingdom. Israel rejected her own king and said, as people do today, we have no king but Caesar. Verses 11 through 17. Well, they focus on the future deliverance of God's people. It will be like releasing prisoners from a pit, gathering a scattered flock, putting jewels in a crown, and assembling a conquering army. What a glorious day that will be! And God appeals in verse 12 to the Jews still in Babylon, urging them to return to their people and their land. He promises twice as much blessing to those who will obey him. So be sure you are in the place of his choosing, so you'll be in the place of his blessing. And with that, let's begin today's reading here in the Old Testament. December 26th, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. This is the message from the Lord against the land of Aram and the city of Damascus. For the eyes of all humanity, including the people of Israel, are on the Lord. Doom is certain for Hamath near Damascus, and for the cities of Tyre and Sidon too, though they are so clever. Tyre has built a strong fortress and has piled up so much silver and gold that it is as common as dust in the streets. But now the Lord will strip away Tyre's possessions and hurl its fortifications into the Mediterranean Sea. Tyre will be set on fire and burned to the ground. The city of Ashkelon will see Tyre fall and will be filled with fear. Gaza will shake with terror, and so will Ekron, for their hopes will be dashed. Gaza will be conquered and its king killed, and Ashkelon will be completely deserted. Foreigners will occupy the city of Ashdod. Thus I will destroy the pride of the Philistines. They will no longer eat meat with blood in it or feed on other forbidden foods. All the surviving Philistines will worship our God and be adopted as a new clan in Judah. And the Philistines of Ekron will join my people, just as the Jebusites once did. I will guard my temple and protect it from invading armies. I am closely watching their movements. No foreign oppressor will ever again overrun my people's land. Rejoice greatly, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, even on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem, and I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. Your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea, and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners, for there is yet hope. I promise this very day that I will repay you two mercies for each of your woes. Judah is my bow, and Israel is my arrow. Jerusalem is my sword, and like a warrior, I will brandish it against the Greeks. The Lord will appear above his people. His arrows will fly like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. He will go out against his enemies like a whirlwind from the southern desert. The Lord Almighty will protect his people, and they will subdue their enemies with sling stones. They will shout in battle, as though drunk with wine, shedding the blood of their enemies. They will be filled with blood, like a bowl, drenched with blood, like the corners of the altar. When that day arrives, the Lord their God will rescue his people, just as a shepherd rescues his sheep. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How wonderful and beautiful they will be! The young men and women will thrive on the abundance of grain and new wine. December 26th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, today's reading will be from the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. We'll see that each person must identify with either the harlot or the bride. There can be no compromise. The woman represents the ultimate in godless world religion, and she is joined with government, carried by the beast, by the way, and corrupts everything she touches. The bride is the true church of Jesus Christ, cleansed by his blood and destined for glory. Participating in false religion is like committing adultery. You are unfaithful to the one to whom you pledged your love. The harlot was popular for a time, but then her lovers turned on her and destroyed her. Now the Antichrist will use a world church to get himself into power and then establish his own religion. Though Christians must be good citizens and seek to influence government for the Lord, the church must not marry political systems. The systems will only use the church to promote their own plans and then abandon it. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, and the enemy is spiritual. We must use spiritual weapons to fight spiritual enemies. And now let's begin today's reading in the New Testament. December 26th, Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. One of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me, John. "Come with me," he said, "and I will show you the judgment that is going to come on the great prostitute who sits on many waters. The rulers of the world have had immoral relations with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality." So the angel took me in spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had seven heads and ten horns, written all over with blasphemies against God. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. She held in her hand a gold goblet full of obscenities, and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk, drunk with the blood of God's holy people, who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her completely amazed. "Why are you so amazed?" the angel asked. "I will tell you the mystery of this woman and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast you saw was alive, but isn't now. And yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life from before the world began, will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died. And now understand this. The 7 heads of the beast represent the 7 hills of the city where this woman rules. They also represent 7 kings. 5 kings have already fallen. The 6th now reigns, and the 7th is yet to come. But his reign will be brief. The scarlet beast that was alive and then died is the 8th king. He is like the other 7, and he too will go to his doom. His 10 horns are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for 1 brief moment to reign with the beast. They will all agree to give their power and authority to him. Together, they will wage war against the Lamb. But the Lamb will defeat them, because he is Lord over all lords, and King over all kings. And his people are the called and chosen and faithful ones. And the angel said to me, "The waters where the prostitute is sitting represents masses of people of every nation and language. The scarlet beast and his 10 horns, which represent 10 kings who will reign with him, all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will mutually agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. And this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." Psalm 145, verses 1 through 21. David extols the Lord for his greatness and grace and goodness and glory and generosity. If you're having a hard time praising the Lord today, that should help you get started. God's people will praise him forever. So we need to learn to do it today, day by day, in all circumstances, in all things, give praise and thanks to the Lord. David extols the Lord as an encouragement to others. Members of each generation need to learn to praise the Lord, so your praise is an example and witness to them. Are others growing in their worship because of you? David hears all God's works praising him. Nature takes on new meaning and new beauty when you realize this. When you live a life of praise, you have the Lord's help in every situation. If you stumble, he helps you up. If you're hungry, he feeds you. If you call, he draws near. No wonder David blessed the Lord so much. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 21. A psalm of praise of David. I will praise you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. I will bless you every day, and I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. His greatness is beyond discovery. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy of your righteousness. The Lord is kind and merciful, slow to get angry, full of unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all His creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will bless you. They will talk together about the glory of your kingdom. They will celebrate examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule generation after generation. The Lord is faithful in all He says. He is gracious in all He does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts up those bent beneath their loads. All eyes look to you for help. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living being. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him sincerely. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and everyone on earth will bless His holy name forever and forever. Proverbs 30, verse 32. If you have been a fool by being proud or plotting evil, don't brag about it. Cover your mouth with your hand in shame.